The only knowledge that you will have is what Allah gives you, which is a very small portion of his knowledge. Musa alayhi salam was asked by Bani Israel. Someone asked Musa when he was speaking on the pulpit, "Man a'lamu an-nas?" Who's the most knowledgeable of people? Musa alayhi salam said, "I am." He didn't say that out of pride. He was speaking the truth as far as he knows. He's the Nabi of Allah, receiving revelation from Allah. So who could be more knowledgeable than me? He wasn't saying it out of pride. He was speaking the fact as far as he is concerned. He said, "I am." Allah Azza wa Jal told him, "Musa, there is someone who has knowledge that you don't have. You claim that you're the most knowledgeable because you don't know that there's somebody who has more knowledge than you do." Now, proof, the evidence that Musa did not say that out of pride is because when Musa knew that there's somebody who has knowledge that he doesn't have, what did Musa say? "I want to go and study from him." Even though Musa alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah, receiving the revelation fresh from Allah Azza wa Jal, Jibreel is coming to Musa and giving him the revelation of Allah. He doesn't have to go and study any books. He doesn't have to go in college or university. Musa says, "I want to go and study from him." So a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is so humble that he's willing to go and study from someone who's not a Nabi. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells Musa where to find Al-Khadr. So Musa travels all the way. This was a travel, a long journey, a dangerous and difficult one. And it's performed by a Nabi of Allah. And now, with all of our ignorance, and with the availability of knowledge right now, we are still not willing to take the few steps that are needed to go and learn. We're not willing to take the effort of flipping through the pages of a book. And Musa alayhi salam is traveling all the way to study from Al-Khadr. And he's studying knowledge that is not mandatory. It's not fard ayn on Musa, because Musa already knows all of al-fard al-ayn. The part of the knowledge that is fard ayn, Musa already knows it, because he's a Nabi of Allah teaching an ummah. He is studying knowledge that is voluntary. But that's how keen he was to learn. So he goes and meets Al-Khadr alayhi salam, and they are riding, they're on this boat. So the first lesson that Musa receives: a bird comes on the deck and it dips its beak into the water. So Al-Khadr tells Musa, "Did you see that bird?" He said, "Yes." "Did you see how much water it took from the sea? Did you see that small droplet of water that it took from the ocean?" Musa said, "Yes." Al-Khadr said, "My knowledge plus your knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah is like what that bird has taken from the sea. Add my knowledge." So you said you're the most knowledgeable person. Take all of your knowledge. And Allah told you that I have knowledge that you don't have. Add it to mine. Compared to the knowledge of Allah is like what that bird has taken from the sea.
يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ.
You only know what Allah teaches you. Al-Alim. Sorry, we forgot one segment. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, which is before the Shafa'a.
لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ.
All that is in the heavens and earth belongs to him. Now, the heavens here, unfortunately, it's a limitation of the English language. People confuse a samawat with Jannah, because in English, they're the same word. Heavens, what does the heavens mean in this ayah? What is heavens? What? The seven heavens. The seven heavens, which is not Jannah. Seven heavens is the sky above us. So in Arabic, it's a samawat. A samawat is different than Jannah. Jannah is something and samawat is something else. In English, unfortunately, both are translated as heaven, so it's confusing. So a samawat, is 7 layers. And Jannah is how many levels? Hundreds. Just for the Mujahideen, there's 100 levels. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah. Now this is common knowledge, you all know it. So what's new in that? The thing is, it depends how deep your knowledge is of this fact, that everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah. If it is surface knowledge, if it's surface knowledge, it's not going to have any effect on the way you live. But if it is yaqeen and deep knowledge, your lifestyle will be much different and your view to life will be much different. When you come to the yaqeen that everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah, you would also come to realize that you can take nothing from it. Nothing at all you can take from the heavens and earth except if Allah gives it to you. Therefore, you're not going to seek to get it except through lawful means. You're not going to run after rizq that is haram, because you know that it belongs to Allah. And you will only be able to take it if Allah Azza wa Jal wills that you get it. When you realize that everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah, it will affect how you deal with disasters in your life. When something very dear to you or someone very dear to you dies or your business goes wrong, and you realize that in the first place it's not yours, it belongs to Allah, and you understand the meaning of the when someone dear to you dies, what are you supposed to say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and we're going to return to Him. So, in other words, you are property of Allah. And the one whom Allah has taken away is property of Allah. So you have no authority over it. It belongs to Allah. He has the right to do with it whatever He wants. Therefore, you shouldn't be very sad. And you should thank Allah Azza wa Jal for whatever happens. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي لَا يُحْمَدُ عَلَى مَكْرُوهٍ سُوَى. And you should accept the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Muslim, the way he handles good and bad things that happens in his life, if something good happens, yashkur Allah, is grateful. If something bad happens, is patient. And that is rewardable. So you're rewarded both ways. If something good happens and you thank Allah, you're rewarded for it. If something bad happens and you're patient, you're rewarded for it. So it's a win-win situation for you. You never lose. You are property of Allah Azza wa Jal, therefore He can do with you whatever He wants. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لو أن الله عز وجل عذب أهل سماواته وأهل أرضه لعذبهم وهو غير ظالم لهم ولو رحمهم لكانت رحمته خير لهم مما يعملون. If Allah عز وجل would bring all of His creation and put them in hellfire, that would not be considered injustice. In other words, if Allah would bring the angels and the anbiya and the salihin and put them in hellfire for eternity, that cannot be considered injustice. Allah has a right to do so, because they are property of Allah. لا يسألوا عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not questioned about His actions, but they are the one who are questioned. Allah owes us nothing and we owe Him everything. And if Allah takes away everything from you and leaves you the crumbs of life, you should still say Alhamdulillah 24 hours a day. So it's a very important aqidah, it's a very important part of iman to deeply believe with certainty that everything belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal and then follow the implications of that.